Welcome to That's Not How a Baby Sleeps, the podcast where parenting meets hilarity. I'm your host, Alicia Daishon, and I've got the fantastic Eleni Katsinis as my co-conspirator in all things baby and toddler sleep. We're not your average sleep consultants, no cry it out nonsense or sleep training at all for that matter. Today we're talking to Casey, who is a graduate of our 6-week Sleep Without Sleep training program. Casey is a mom to Tate and a wife to her high school sweetheart, Aaron. During the day, she runs Sunday Vintage Jewelry, which is a collection of vintage fine jewelry for sale. When she's not looking at diamonds, she's in the kitchen cooking, diving into books and research, and listening to her favorite podcasts. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. It's been so long since I've seen both of your faces.
It's good to see. I know. It's good to see your face.
It feels like yesterday, but it also feels like a year ago. I mean, it was a year ago.
I feel like it's coming up on a year. I was like looking at dates the other day. I was like, oh my goodness. We just had when did we meet, Eleni? You said it was our anniversary recently.
It was our anniversary, like April 24th or something like that. Yeah. I was like, this is going to sound really cheesy, but this is our anniversary today. She's like, it's not cheesy.
That's amazing. I love that so much. That's so great.
Oh, so how are you doing? How's Tate doing?
He's great. He's a lot of fun. He's, I think, about to be 20 months old. So he's at just such a sweet stage. I mean, I was telling some friends last night that I'm biased because I'm his mom, but he's a really special kid and he is just so sweet and easygoing and fun and such a sponge right now. I mean, like, he picks up a new word, I feel like every hour. So it's really fun to watch that and watch him just grow in emotions, the high highs and the low lows too. Like, getting frustrated about many things, but then also, like, the other night at dinner, he walked back and forth between me and my husband, hugging our necks so tightly, and it just was the sweetest thing. So yeah, he's a lot of fun and really, really just the best.
Oh goodness. And yeah, because I was looking at just your initial assessment that we did and everything, and he was 8.5 months old when we started working together.
It's so crazy. He's like he's full on toddler. I mean, yeah. Aaron, my husband, were like, oh my gosh, like he's not a baby anymore. Like, he's going to be two in like a couple months, which is just, I mean, everyone says it goes by so fast, but it actually does. And my friends who are pregnant, I'm like, I am going to be cliche, but it does go by so quickly and soak up every stage. But at the same time, every stage gets sweeter, which is such a fun experience. So it's not bad that it's going by quick.
Yeah. You get excited for like the next steps every single time. Yes. It's just,
totally.
I'm the type of mom that I do enjoy each stage quite a bit. Like, people are like, oh, I couldn't stand like the newborn stage. I couldn't stand this. I'm like, I liked it all. Like, yeah, they all have their difficult ups and downs and stuff, but I do enjoy each stage, which is why like I've liked spacing out my kids, because then I can, you know, I think enjoy each stage a little bit more, which is nice. So
totally. Oh,
wonderful. Okay, cool. So we're going to talk about sleep and just like just your experience and stuff working together with us. And yeah, so when he was first born, how was sleep initially for you guys? Like, was he more easygoing, more on the sensitive side sleep-wise? I know you said he's a pretty easygoing kid, so I'm like trying to remember what that looked
like. It's super interesting for Tate. Like, I would say he's easy when he was first born. He was easygoing for me, which makes sense because I'm his mother. But for everyone else, he wasn't easygoing for. But when I was reflecting, thinking about him when he was first born, I think, because it also, side note, everything just goes out of my mind somehow. Like, I've quickly forgotten what that was like, which is hilarious, because it was so hard at the beginning. But okay, so when he was first born, he had a tongue tie and a lip tie. And I knew no different. I think I was just a first-time mom in newborn bliss and was like, oh, he feeds every hour and a half. He must be cluster feeding for 6 weeks. And I remember talking to my lactation consultant. She's like, oh, honey, like cluster feeding only happens for like a day. I was like, oh, okay. Good to know. And she quickly diagnosed it with a tongue and a lip tie. And then we worked with craniosacral therapist and occupational therapist, and then a pediatric dentist who revised it. And from then on, that helped so much with just his comfortability and sleep. But when he was having that tongue tie, lip tie, he was feeding every hour and a half, like I said. So that was during the day and during the night. And so it was brutal. And he was very unhappy because he just was in pain and gassy. And I didn't really know how to help him that much other than baby wear him. Like, yeah. My friends say that they only saw his head for the first 6 weeks because he was always in a carrier.
Yeah.
Which he loved and I loved. And it allowed me a lot of freedom of like doing things around the house and getting work done. And it was very beneficial to be in the baby carrier. But I think at the beginning too, I kind of led into that pressure of what everyone else does as far as like wanting to get him in the crib and wanting him to sleep on his own. And then that would lead to frustration. And I was already frustrated because I was with him every hour and a half feeding him. And it was just a bad cycle at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So then once his tongue and lip tie were revised, it got significantly better. And it got to, I think, just normal baby sleep where he was waking up like every 3 hours. Yeah. And that was so much more manageable. He started taking better naps. But it definitely was a wild ride at the beginning because of the mm-hmm. ties, as every mom with kids with ties will tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know you're friends with Blake and stuff too. And she went through the exact same thing as well.
Yes. It's really crazy. And because they present so different in every baby, like Tate is so much like Sunny, Blake's son, where he was gaining weight. And so everyone kind of just dismissed him because they were like, yeah. Wow, even when we were in the hospital, he never lost an ounce. And the lactation yeah. consultant in the hospital was like, wow, I've never seen this. Like, this is so great. And I was like, yeah, this is awesome. I'm a rock star. Meanwhile, my nipples are like falling off. Oh, gosh. But yeah, every baby presents differently.
Yeah. And we hear that a lot too with oral ties. It's like it's constantly dismissed because baby's gaining weight. Everything's going well. It's like, well, yeah, they're eating hourly. Like you would gain yes. weight too if you ate every single hour.
Totally. And it wasn't until like a tongue tie savvy lactation consultant really helped me because she did weighted feeds. And so we saw that he was only taking an ounce and a half. And we were like, okay, he's only transferring half of what he should be. That's why he's feeding every hour and a half. Mm-hmm. He can't go those 3 hour stretches, yeah. Which is like what they should do. And so she helped me a lot with feeding him and then pumping and giving him the other ounce and a half in mm-hmm. a bottle. And that helped me until we got to his release. But yeah, it's a doozy. It's a doozy. Yeah.
It's very stressful. How did you find the whole procedure? Because we talked to Blake about that, and obviously it's very stressful for a new parent to have to go through. I mean, it sounds like you did all of the work leading up to it, probably yeah. did all the body work after and everything. Like you did all the right things, but it's still, it's a surgery.
Totally. Yeah. Still a surgery. I think I had really great support through the OT and my craniosacral therapist. So I'm really grateful for them. If I didn't have their support, I think it would have been a lot harder, but the worst part, which I think every mom who goes through this will tell you, is the stretches after the surgery. Oh my gosh. Like I can still remember them, and I would get so anxious leading up to them. I have my little headlight on and I'm like trying to stretch Tate's mouth and he's like 6 weeks old. But I'm so glad that we went through with it because I mean, I'm just continue to go down that rabbit hole as he's gotten older, and you just see the long-term effects of having oral ties, and short-term and long-term, but and as they get older, I just feel like it gets so much harder, and I'm so glad we did it when he was so young where he didn't have to be put to sleep and yeah. He healed really quickly, and it was, I'm so glad we did it then.
Yeah, I completely agree. I know it's definitely, it's a process to go through for a lot of parents, and we're so grateful that like we were very lucky with that and we didn't have to, but it affects so many different aspects, like whether it's, you know, eating in general, sleep, obviously we see it from that standpoint, or, you know, your breastfeeding journey and everything. It's
totally,
it plays into a lot of different things, and it's just constantly dismissed, and it's so sad, and
it is.
Yeah, really, really makes it hard on a new mom for
it's
sure,
true.
And a little baby. So,
yes.
Oh goodness. Okay, so after you guys went through the whole procedure, he kind of had normal, you know, wake ups every 3 hours and stuff, and that was pretty standard. And then you got in contact with us when he was 8.5 months old. And what would you say, what was your biggest reasoning behind getting in contact with us? Besides, I think he was waking up 4 or 5 times at that point in time.
Yeah. 4 or 5 times at the time, which is probably a sleep regression, I'm thinking, and mixed with just how we were operating. Cause I think like maybe it was the 8 month sleep regression, but I think I just was at my breaking point that point. Like, I just was like, I'm so exhausted, because it was 4 to 5 wake-ups a night. Thankfully, like when he did wake up, he wakes up crying, and then I would just nurse him back to sleep, and he would be asleep in 20 minutes.
Okay.
And during different phases for him, when he was less than a year old, it was challenging to transfer him. That became like a full on art. My husband watches me on the monitor. He's like, how did you do that? Like, you are just a pro at it. I'm like, yeah, you have to be a pro at it. But he had, 4 to 5 wake-ups a night. And I just was, like I said, at my breaking point, really ready to get rest. And I think at that point I had friends who had, two really good friends who had babies 4 months prior, and their babies both were unicorns. And I started to have all this self-doubt of like, what's going on? Like, their babies have slept through the night and they're 4 months old and they sleep independently. And I'm like, what's going on with Tate? And so I knew in my heart too, that I really didn't want to sleep train. It didn't sit well with me as a mom, and how I wanted to respond to Tate. And especially like, he woke up crying every time, and I just can't ignore that. Like, he needs his mom. And I had read so much about, you know, babies, they're not separate from you. They think they're still one for, I forget how long, I think it's like 6 months or longer.
Even. Yeah. Minimum like 9 months usually.
Yeah, exactly. And so knowing that, I'm just like, I can't do this today. It doesn't sit well with me. And you both know I'm so into the science. So I had so deep into that. I was like, I can't do this. I'm so concerned about attachment and so concerned about his well-being, and him just knowing that I'm going to show up for him in whatever emotional state he's in. And so, and that includes daytime and nighttime. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, what can I do? And so Blake and I had gone to the same occupational therapist, and craniosacral therapist. And Blake and I hadn't been friends at that time yet. And the craniosacral therapist recommended you all to me.
Right. Yes. Cause she had asked, I remember she asked for my information and stuff. Right.
Yes. Cause she shares with moms all the time and gives great resources, but she recommended you guys. And so, I started looking into what you guys offered, and I think that's right when you were releasing the 6-week course.
Yeah.
And it was like the trial group, and I was like, this will be perfect, because one, you get so much education and I love that. And then two, you get the personalized help over a 6-week course, which was perfect since Tate, and I think all babies, you know, they just go through ups and downs. Sleep is not linear. It's a phase. And so 6 weeks felt like such a good chunk to me to be able to review what was going on with him and address it.
Absolutely.
So yeah.
that was the big reason that we get the question a lot, like, well, why 6 weeks? I'm like, it allows us the time to really like look at your child's sleep as a whole, because there are ups and downs. And, you know, like, we are willing to pause if your child goes through about teething or development and stuff like that. But it really gives us like a full picture. I find that, you know, when we do smaller packages, 2 week packages, like I've been doing this for a while now where I've done those increments for support, it's always like, I always want more time mm-hmm. with the family and stuff. So we like the 6 week program. It's good. It allows
totally.
Us
yeah. I can't imagine doing 2 weeks for Tate. Cause like I said, I think it could have been a sleep regression, or even at this age, it's like, it could just be because he's learning so many new words. Like we need that extra time to be able to assess. So.
Totally. No, that's good. We were so glad to have you.
I loved it.
Yeah, good. I know it's so hard because, again, working with a family for like 6 weeks, we really get to know you. And with like the daily coaching calls, we see you like pretty frequently. And then at the end, we're like, oh, I'm so sad. We're going to miss them.
I know. I felt the same way. I mean, I was like a spring chicken on the daily coaching calls.
Yeah.
First one on there, like, hey, guys. I don't have a question, but I just want to talk.
Yeah. And like, that's what we like is, you know, like, yes, technically they're group coaching calls, but people just kind of hop on and off during that hour, ask their questions and go. If nobody hops on, then, you know, you get us all to yourself for an hour if you feel like that, where we can just kind of touch base and, you know, check in, see you face to face and make sure that you're actually doing okay. Like that. I get really bored of like the back and forth email support and stuff. It's so hard to tell how somebody's actually doing through email. So it's nice to see them face to face and everything, and see the babies on calls and stuff. Yes. Love that too. So it's good. Wonderful. So I know we talked about this a little bit, but I'm assuming with all of the research that you did and stuff, did you do quite a bit of research before Tate was born on sleep, or just no research at all, just kind of winging it when it came to sleep? Like, did you have plans to sleep train at all beforehand?
So I remember right before Tate was born, I remember printing out these sheets of paper, showing them to my husband, being like, we need to learn what wake windows are. This is vital. And because I was so wrapped up in preparing for the birth. I'm a birth junkie. I could talk about birth all day long. And I knew that baby sleep was on the horizon. But I had followed some Instagram accounts, like Hey Sleepy Baby, people who are just not into sleep training. And so I really got a lot of education from her. And she really is the one that like opened my mind up to like, oh, you don't have to sleep train to get your baby to sleep, and just like what normal infant sleep is, because our culture is just so wrapped up in getting the baby to sleep in a certain way for a certain amount of hours. And which, like, I will say, like, I went into having Tate knowing all of like the non-sleep training principles and the research, but they're in the hard moments, I'm like, oh, I get it. I get why people sleep train. Like, it's so hard, and it's not for the faint of heart. I mean, he didn't sleep the night until 16 months, and we can talk about that. And that's normal. But my friends look at me like I'm crazy. Like, I have a third eye when I say that. Anyways, Hey Sleepy Baby really helped educate me. I don't think I dove too deep into it until after Tate was here, but I knew the principles beforehand. And I knew, I've always had a big interest in psychology and attachment and wanting to nurture a really secure attachment with Tate and with our little family unit. And so it was very important to me that I showed up for him day and night, no matter what. And I just committed to that. And I think I was a zombie for a year. But I am really, Aaron, my husband and I talk about it a lot, that it's one of the things that we're most proud of, is like, we stuck to it and we've shown up for him and we continue to do so. And I'm so grateful for that. And even if there's no difference in the long run, if a mom's like, oh, I sleep train my kid, or I didn't sleep train my kid, I just know that for these past almost 2 years, I shut up for Tate every time he cried out. And I'm so grateful for rocking him and nursing him in those wee hours, being there for him. So
yeah. Like you said, it goes by really fast. So you can look back on that. It's hard though, when, especially as a first time mom, you're in the thick of it. You're like, this is my life moving forward. Like this is going to be how it's going to be for the rest of my life. And it's like, no, it does. Like we always tell families, you could literally do nothing and your child would eventually sleep through the night, barring any medical concerns or anything like that. So, but I get that it's not a waited out thing for a lot of families.
Yes, exactly. I think I kept always going back to, and I always like reference it, I think it was a study that Hey Sleepy Baby posted about how there really, it was a research study done, that there's no difference by age 2 between a sleep trained baby and an unsleep trained baby. Mm-hmm. And that like blew my mind, because I was like, what? Like the sleep train world tells you, you have to sleep train, or how's your baby ever going to sleep?
Yeah, they won't know how to.
Yes, exactly. They don't know how to. They don't know how to soothe themselves. And when I saw that today, I was like, wow, that is so helpful to know that, and gives kind of a beacon of of guiding light for me of like, okay, if I do, there's no difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, that's good.
Yes.
I'm glad that you came across Rachel as well. She's wonderful. She's a really good resource. Super cool. Awesome. So prior to working together, did you guys attempt anything to improve sleep at all? I know you said you were following wake windows and stuff, but was that kind of the gist of it?
Yeah, I was like a wake window freak. I was like, this is how he's going to sleep well. And I really stuck by those wake windows, which was great education of knowing about wake windows, but I think it was not great on the side of, I became so anxious about like, he has to be asleep by this time and our plans can't interfere with this because his wake window is X. And he would go down to nap during those wake windows, because I just nursed him to sleep, and it was superpower to be able to be like, okay, go to sleep, and he went to sleep. So it was working in that sense, but it wasn't working for his nighttime sleep, because it wasn't what he needed. It was very like prescribed based off of these general schedules. I could Google like 5-month-old wake windows and basically go off those, and that was not what he needed. So I did wake windows, and then I try to do like the normal time a baby goes to sleep. Which we found out working together that
that wasn't a thing for him.
No. Much to my dismay, though, because I was like, oh man. Which he still has a late bedtime, and it's not my favorite thing, but there's pros and cons. So I tried to put him down between 7 and 8, and then he'd wake up 30 minutes later. I mean, we had false starts for so long. But yeah, I think really the only thing that I tried to do was wake windows. Mm-hmm. I did move him to his own room when he was 4 months during the 4-month sleep regression.
I
don't know. I just was like going... I was like a superwoman in that moment of like, okay, he is going through his 4-month sleep regression. He's waking up every 2 hours. I'm going to kill 2 birds with 1 stone, and he's going to his crib. And so like every wake up, I would go in there and I would not budge. I would be like, he is not coming into our room. And I just needed to draw that boundary. And I was like, I feel ready for you to be out of our room. And, it worked so well. And he was in his room still waking up. I mean, four or five times until we start working together. But I think it allowed me to have kind of a sense of like, I'm losing my mind with sleep, but like when I am sleeping, I'm like in my own bed, I get to cuddle up with my pillow. It was restorative to me amidst the like craziness.
It worked for you guys, which is good. Let's talk about what sleep looked like after we worked together. So obviously we started at like 8.5 months. He was initially waking up those 4 to 5 times. And then by the time we finished, we were usually seeing like two wake ups, maybe sometimes one when I was going back at log. So that was exciting. And we discovered he did better with that later bedtime. I think it was like 9 o'clock was kind of the sweet spot for him, which is a lot later than, that 7 o'clock mark that you were trying before. And then we also noticed lower sleep needs, which is common. We do come across a lot of babies who do have lower sleep needs. And though it's funny, you were talking about wake windows and stuff. We noticed too that extending his last wake window more than average, like he was averaging, I think, 5 hours, 45 minutes, 6 hours or so for his last wake window, which is like a toddler's wake window, not usually, a 9 month old wake window. And I think that correlated too with the last nap being on the shorter side, right? Like we were capping that at like 30 minutes or so. And then he was having this way longer wake window than what we would usually see. And that was working for him.
It was working really well. I think for him, he needs a lot of sleep pressure. He's a very resilient kid. So whenever we're with people, or he's having a lot of fun, you won't even know he's tired. He'll just want to continue to go. He's not one of those kids where it's like inching towards his bedtime and he's like, oh, I'm sleepy, I'm ready to go to bed. It's like he looks like he could go for 3 more hours. And so I think when he was 8.5, 9 months old, having that long wake window helped so much to build up that sleep pressure, help cut out those false starts, and then help him sleep better at night, and kind of get him on more of a schedule that way. And yeah, I mean, I just felt a world of a difference after, I mean, after going from 4 to 5 wakeups a night to 1 to 2, I felt like a queen. It was amazing to get rest like that because it had been so long, since I really had gotten rest. So it was super helpful. I was still, when he would wake up at night, I would still nurse him back to sleep. And that worked really, really well for us then. And so, yeah, I think two parts. One, it gave me that immediate rest after working with you guys. And then two, it gave me a lot of confidence about future sleep issues because I remember when we finished our time together, I was a little bit worried as far as like, what should I do when he has goes through another regression or he is not sleeping well? How will I know what to do and how to adjust? Because you guys were helping me adjust daily. And so I was like, what am I gonna do? So I continued my sleep log.
I know. I went into your file and I was like, how many logs did you have?
Think I had like, I don't know, definitely over 30. It
I don't know. I feel like sometimes we were pushing 50 there. I don't even tell
might have been
anybody this,
50.
but I don't think you got you had duplicated a lot and like pushed them out, and then I think you did stop somewhere maybe in the 40 range. But yes, you took our 6 week sleep log and just continued to go with it. But it worked for you.
It helps so much. I mean, I remember prior to working with you, I used the Huckleberry app, and it was helpful to have like a log, but they push sleep training on the
It's
app.
pushed sleep training and probably was telling you like they probably wouldn't have really liked your, almost 6 hour wake window before bed. Your baby's overtired, put them to sleep.
And so I loved using the spreadsheet. It's a little bit more analog than using an app. And so I kept it going, like you saw, so many tabs. And it really was so helpful to have that science of like, okay, if he slept horribly that night and it wasn't teething, it wasn't illness, and it happened multiple nights in a row, I can say, oh, I've been putting him to bed for his nap at this time. Maybe we should push it 15 minutes because you guys in the class gave me that confidence of knowing how to adjust his sleep and how to figure it out and how to balance the daytime sleep for the nighttime sleep. So I think that those were the two parts, was like immediate rest, but then also confidence long term of how to adjust his sleep. And I still use those tools now. And I still tell other people about those tools who, when they're struggling with their kids sleep, I'm like, oh, it's a formula. Like your kid can sleep better at night? What if you push the nap to this time or this time? Because they just think, oh, my baby's not sleeping. It's behavioral stuff. And I'm like, no, it's an equation. You can adjust things. So anyways, yeah. Your education really helped me with that. And I still use it.
That makes us so happy to hear.
I think we have to have Casey work for us. Yeah, I think Casey needs to come work with us. You have to go get certified.
I know. It's amazing. It would be fun.
Yeah. It's so, and you really loved like the science behind it and stuff too. Like you would get in the calls and you would just, you know, okay, what's this? Yes. And another thing too, that I noticed with you by the end of the program, you were getting on calls and you were, hey, like, this is what I think I should do. Right. And I'm like, yes, you already know exactly what you should be doing.
Yes.
We were able to set you free at that point in time.
Totally.
Able to figure everything out. So what did sleep progress into after working together? Because obviously there were progressions. I remember you were really worried about the 12-month and the nap transition. Like those were the big things that you're like, I don't know.
Yes.
Those are tricky, but.
Well, I think it that freaked me out because so many people in our cohort of the 6-week class had older babies than mm-hmm. Tate. And I just remember seeing all their messages being like, this is the worst, like the 12 months sooner. And I was like, oh no, like Tate hasn't been the best sleeper and what am I going to do? And so I was so worried. But then ended up going, okay, maybe it went horribly and I've just forgotten since it's almost a year ago, but I think it went okay. But I think he was pretty consistently like waking up once or twice a night from then on. At his year birthday mark, we went to our pediatrician, had blood work done, and his ferritin came back low, which was surprising. His iron was a good level, but his ferritin was like a 7. And he eats beef all day long, mm-hmm. spinach, all the things.
Yeah.
So it's very surprising to us. So he started taking iron, and then I just switched him to beef liver, and he's been doing well with those. So I don't know if that had a big impact into him starting to sleep through the night at 16 months, but he was still doing about 1 to 2 wake ups a night, and I would just nurse him. He would go right back to sleep. We never really had issues with split nights or any other random sleep problems. And so I think, yeah, at 16 months, I remember waking up and being like, what? He just slept through the night? Like, I didn't think it would happen. And I was kind of okay with it because I was like, 1 to 2 wake ups is a dream for me, going from 4 to 5, and how easygoing he is as far as like, he wakes up, he cries, I go in there, I nurse him, I'm asleep in 15 minutes. It wasn't a big deal to me. Yeah. So I was like,
you went back to sleep yourself really easily and stuff, which is definitely helpful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which that's like a whole nother thing as far as like setting up my own hygiene practices, mm-hmm. which we worked on too. And that helped so much about reading before bed, not looking at my phone, blue light,
yeah.
all of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I remember waking up that morning when he was 16 months old and being like, I actually cannot believe it. Like, I was like a kid on Christmas morning, just giddy. Like, what? I cannot believe he slept through the night. And so from there, he would sleep through the night very randomly. It was okay. not consistent. Okay. It wasn't just like it happened at 16 months and then he's yeah. been good. So be very, very random. And it wasn't super consistent. And so we continued with just like his schedule, with just his one nap. And he's still a dream napper. For one nap, I have to wake him up at 2 hours.
And then actually, nice break. That's pretty good for a low sleep needs kiddo at this age.
I know, but we'll get to this, but I think I have to cut it to 1.5 hours. I'm having to tweak it. But yeah, so he had been doing 2-hour naps, and then would sleep the night sometimes wake up once a night. And then I was starting to feel the itch to want to night wean him. Mm-hmm. But I really dreaded it. I mm-hmm. was very concerned about the big emotions, and he just loves to nurse, and like that's the only way he's ever gone to sleep at bedtime and wake ups in the middle of the night ever his entire life. Yeah. And so it was very daunting to want to make that change, especially
because you went back to sleep so easily yourself. Like, why?
Exactly. Exactly. And I had this voice in the back of my head. I remember you saying it once that was like, even if you night wean, sometimes that doesn't mean that it's going to help the wake ups. So I was worried, and I was like, if I do this, then what if I'm spending an hour to get him back to sleep? Mm-hmm. But I think there came a point of not just the motivation wasn't just sleep. The motivation was like when he would latch on, I felt done. And I was like, I need to make this change because I'm really, really, really not enjoying nighttime nursing. Mm-hmm. And for my mental health and well-being, I need to make this change. So I think I decided that around like 17 months, and I started just working myself up to when that was going to happen. And preparing myself. And so it's about a month ago. So he's probably like 18 and a half months, almost 19 months, that I decided to do it. And leading up to it, I a couple days before kept telling him, okay, when you wake up at night, no milk. And he would repeat it to me. He would say, no milk. I'm like, okay, we got this. And so one night I just decided, I was like, okay, this is the night. And when he was going to sleep, I was nursing him. I said, Tate, when you wake up, no milk. And he said, okay, no milk. And he woke up that night, and it probably was like an hour of trying to rock him, mm-hmm. Trying to get him back to sleep. He was crying, which is okay, because he was mad. That's a big change for him. Like, I would be mad too. Like, you have only gone back
this is to how sleep. You've responded to me for, you know, 17
exactly.
months.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's so comforting and soothing to him, and he never took a pacifier, so like, yeah. I was his pacifier. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted that, and so it was okay for him to be upset about not having that. So I just really stuck to it. I have this like modality in my head where I'm like, okay, when I'm choosing something, I'm going to stick to it. Just like I did with the 4 month sleep regression and putting him in his crib. Like, I knew if I was going to night wean, I needed to do it because I didn't want to have to redo it weeks later.
Yeah.
So that happened the first night. And my husband came in to help me too, because it became a lot. Like, when yeah. Kate is mad, the crying elevates, and then you feel overwhelmed and overstimulated. Yeah. Yes, it's a lot. And so that was the first night. The second night, he woke up and did the same thing, but for maybe 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then like 90% of the moms that I read about in the Facebook group, on other Facebook groups, they all said it's only a couple bad nights. And I was like, there's no way, not my kid. And the third night, he slept through the night. And now when he wakes up, he doesn't even ask for milk. It's just like, he knows yeah. we rock. And I think what also, let me backtrack just a tiny bit. What helped me prepare for that too, is I stopped nursing at naps. Okay. And so I think drawing that boundary at nap time really helped prepare for nighttime as well, because yeah. it wasn't as confusing as like, oh, it's only nighttime that I'm not nursing. Like,
yeah.
we rock at nap time. So I knew that he could go yeah. back to sleep via rocking.
Good for you. The naps are tricky usually, because you have less sleep pressure working with you. It's usually one of the ones I dread most when dropping. I'm
totally.
Like, it's tough, because you might yes. get a nap refusal, stuff like that. But we also talk too about when we are looking at night weaning is setting those daytime boundaries and stuff during the day practicing. And that totally. Worked out well for you guys. And it developed that other sleep association that was you knew you could utilize.
Exactly.
And he was already, you know, introduced to that and able to fall asleep with it. So that definitely helped for sure.
Yes. And it's been great too, because like it's just cool to see his evolution with sleep. Like he has been nursed to sleep every night his entire life and still is. And he now sleeps through the night 9 times out of 10. And the times that he's waking up is if he's teething or has a sickness or needs me. And he is just, I'm so grateful that he is sleeping through the night. Because it's given me so much rest, but also I know when he needs me, I'm there for him, and he's back to sleep in 20 minutes when I rock him. And what a gift that is. And then also at nap times, a couple weeks ago, I was rocking him and he started reaching for his crib. And I was like, "Do you want to go in your crib?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Okay." So I put him in his crib and I said, "Night night, love you." And I walked down, I watched him on the monitor, and he like rolled around for a little bit and then fell asleep on his own. And I was like, "Oh my goodness, who is this baby?" And he did that for probably about 2 weeks. And I just, I truly was blown away, because I remember feeling like this will never happen.
It'll never happen. Yeah.
He will never sleep independently, never go to sleep on his own. How will he ever do this? And he just did it, and I trusted that he would do it on his own time. Yeah. And he did. But I also want to say at the end of that sentence is that that happened for 2 weeks, and now I still have to rock him at nap time, because sleep is not linear, and I'm not going to force that independence on him of like,
yeah, when he's not ready at that time.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
It goes up and down. Totally.
Exactly.
Yeah, you've seen it happen before. I think a lot of the time too, we get in our heads like, well, he's done it before. Like, especially families who, you know, the baby slept through the night one time.
Yes.
And they're like, well, they've done it before now. This is what it's going to be like moving forward. And it's like,
yes,
maybe, probably exactly. Not though.
Exactly. Yeah. Keeping that in my mind has been so helpful. And then I've loved that y'all have come out with a podcast, because it's been actually really helpful, because the episode on toddler sleep and split nights, we had a split night for like the first time ever that night. And we're like, what is going on? And then you just get fearful that this is like your future, but it usually it's always like, there was a big leap there, or his language was growing and he was back to normal the next night, but he was partying from like 2 a.m. to 4:30.
And you guys are not used to that at all.
No. Like... Yeah, that's a funny thing. When you get used to sleeping through the night, I mean, I've never slept like so hard. I probably have. It's a faint memory, but now I'm like, oh my gosh, you are waking up and I'm not feeling well.
No, yeah. I get mad. I'm like, why? This is so frustrating, because you get a taste of like normal human sleep again. So those like long random wake ups that you have, they're just a slap in the face. They're not good.
Totally. And then, but the thing is, like, it's always changing. Like that whole nap thing that I was just saying, he put himself to sleep and then I've had to rock him. And then this past weekend, he didn't want to nap until 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. And he's usually going down at like 12:45. And so the past couple of days, I've like had to convince him that like his little stuffed animal bunny wants to take a nap and rock with me. So he doesn't want to rock with me. Because he'll want to stay up till 2 p.m. And I'm like, oh no. You're not fighting your naps yet. We're not going to do that. I know you're low sleep needs, but at you're only 20 months. We're not going to go down this whole dropping nap situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although if it moves up his bedtime,
it's tempting. It is tempting. We dropped Luna's nap about a month ago, and she's 2.5 now. And I have been getting, last night she went to bed at 7:45. And slept until 8. I had to wake her up this morning. I was like, get up. You've been asleep for over 12 hours. So we've been getting a taste of that now. And that's as addicting as, you know, getting a normal amount of human sleep. It's real hard now. Like I get sometimes, I'm like, oh, it's 9:30 and you're not asleep yet. And I get like frustrated. I'm like, dude, she was going to bed at 11 o'clock at one point in time. Like it was so bad. And now I'm like annoyed by 9:30 because I'm spoiled now and get a normal bedtime.
Yes, been there. I know how that feels.
Stuff. But yeah, you do usually get normal human bedtimes when they eventually drop the nap, so then it starts to feel worth it. But yeah,
Totally. One
you
day,
gotta pick
not
your
now though.
battles. Not now. You're still enjoying your 2 hour break in the middle of the day. I never
Yes.
got that, so I just it wasn't worth it. It was like we were letting her nap and then capping the nap at like we were doing a bridge nap, and I was like, this is just, and it was still resulting in like a 10 something bedtime. So.
No way.
So crazy. Oh my goodness. Okay. So sleep now is like relatively good. He wakes up, you know, occasionally.
Yeah, he like truly wakes up maybe once, one night a week. It's only usually one time. It's very common to hear him like start to cry and then go back to sleep.
And go back.
And that's pretty amazing to watch, as someone who didn't ever think that would happen. And yeah, he still takes his 2 hour naps, which I'm trying to figure out with this whole nap time fighting right now, which I think is maybe a regression. I don't know. And it's also the language. He's just booming, learning so much.
He's always been a
But
FOMO baby, so I imagine that
yes.
that's probably playing into some of your nap struggles now.
Definitely, definitely. And just like creating a really solid routine because he is that FOMO baby and like really getting him into knowing that this is bedtime and this is nap time is really helpful. But yeah, I mean, he has been sleeping through the night. Like I said, it feels like such a gift to me. Like I truly have not slept so hard as I have in the past couple weeks. And I'm so grateful that we did night wean. That helped, I think, so much in our case, and I'm glad it did because I was so nervous about it. But yeah, he's been sleeping so well right now, other than naps. That's my caveat.
Oh gosh. Oh, well, I imagine yes. It's probably progression, minor tweaks. Like I imagine you guys have got it sorted out. And I
Yeah.
do think too with those FOMO babies, the structured bedtime routine, nap routines and stuff, they do really work wonders. I forget
Definitely.
that myself sometimes, if I'm being honest. I
Yeah.
never take my own advice. So it makes
Totally.
things tricky for sure. Awesome. Okay, so what is one thing that you would tell an expecting mom regarding sleep?
I would tell her to lean into her own intuition. I think about myself as a new mom when Tate was just born, and I think there was a lot of anxiety around getting him in to fit into a certain mold as far as these wake windows and what time he should go to bed. And then there was a lot of shoulds of like, Tate should be sleeping X amount of hours by X weeks old. Tate should be sleeping through the night and putting himself to sleep by 6 months old. There were a lot of shoulds based on people around me, be based on the internet, pediatricians. Just there's so many forces telling you about what you should do and what your baby should do. And I really want first-time moms to know that your baby is unique, and has very unique sleep needs. And so leaning into your own intuition of like, what does my baby need? And how can I show up for my baby in a way that feels so authentic to me and not in a way that the world is telling me to do so? I think if I followed that advice, there would have been a lot less anxiety and stress around his sleep and a lot more enjoyment of those moments and those sweet nighttime feeds of waking up 5 times a night. But I think I would have enjoyed it more and just turned off everything else. And in Instagram and social media is such an easy rabbit hole to go down. But find accounts and find people that align with your values, and don't just let these other huge accounts who promise sleep sway you that way. Listen to your intuition, your own values, and find people who can support you in those. So, yeah, just listen to your own intuition.
Awesome. That's wonderful. And you've started a little business, I saw.
Thank
Want
you.
to talk about
Yes.
that?
Yeah. So this has been a long time passion of mine, since probably high school. I love vintage jewelry. I love things that hold a story. And I started this business last fall, launched in May. It's a vintage fine jewelry company called Sunday Vintage Jewelry. And I sell primarily diamond rings and bands as well. And they're all rings from the 1800s to 1900s with
Cool.
diamonds that are hand cut. They give off just such a cool light. The settings are all handmade by craftsmen 100 years ago, and it's just unlike the jewelry that we see nowadays that's so mass produced, and a lot of it looks the same. And I just love vintage jewelry because it's very unique and special. So it's been a lot of fun to be able to just one, look at this jewelry all day, but two, also get to be a part of people's stories as far as their love or these rings remembering a certain anniversary or a certain life event, and getting to bring them unique pieces to them that no one else in the world has. So yeah, it's been a dream that the business actually came alive. And as you both know, small business is such a hustle. And there's so many facets to it. It's like, oh, taxes. I need taxes. So challenging.
Absolutely. Oh,
But
that's so wonderful. Where can people find you on social media for that
yeah,
particularly?
so it's just at Sunday Vintage Jewelry on Instagram and on Facebook as well. And then my website is sundayvintagejewelry.com. So
Perfect.
yeah,
Awesome.
thank you.
Thanks for coming and chatting with us today.
Anytime. Thanks for
So
having me.
lovely.
Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to connect with us beyond the podcast. You can find myself on all social media platforms at moonbay.sleep. And for more parenting and sleepy goodness, hop over to Instagram and follow Eleni at Rooted in Sleep. Until next week, keep embracing the chaos and remember, you're doing an amazing job, even if it doesn't feel like it.